Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 26, 2017. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My full review of last night's WWE Raw, the print version of the WWE Raw hit list that I will be reading momentarily, a recap of a rare interview with WWE attorney Jerry McDevitt, who discusses Vince McMahon and the big debate over WWE Network royalties. Plus, still to come, Will Pruitt's pause review of Raw and the WWE Raw rating should also be available a little bit later today. The members are listening to my 48-minute audio review of last night's WWE Raw, my 58-minute Q&A audio show from Monday where I answer their pro wrestling questions to start and then have some fun with the non-wrestling questions at the end. The members will also hear the ad-free and VIP editions of the PW Torch livecast, which if you're listening to this as soon as it drops, then I'm probably on the air over at pwtorchlivecast.com. Noon Central on Tuesday is when I am on that show. Not every Tuesday anymore, but kind of in a regular rotation. You can definitely join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net by signing up for membership via the sign-up page right there on our main page. Once you're in there, you'll find three different pricing options. Membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you want to save yourself a little bit of money, all you have to do is commit to either 6 months or go all the way to a full year. That annual rate brings your price down to an average of just $5.50 per month. With all the business out of the way, let's get into the WWE Raw hit list. Let's start with the hits. Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon are the first hit. It felt premature to bring Stephanie back to television, but it made sense when they announced that Vince McMahon would announce who is in charge of Raw at Payback on Sunday. Stephanie was a lot of fun with her Hartford's favorite daughter routine, and the fans view both members of the McMahon family as stars. .NET reader Jeff Mitchell noted that Stephanie was not wearing her wedding ring during the segment. I'm not mentioning this for real-life gossip. Rather, I wonder if it was something storyline-related that they wanted us to notice. The next hit is AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, who are also in the misses section, so stay tuned for that. I wish AJ Styles had been built up as a strong challenger so that this felt like a showdown match. The real hook isn't the new champion facing one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's about whether Styles has been in cahoots with Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Fortunately, that's a hell of a hook. WWE has told the story very well, and I think we're all anxious to find out what the payoff will be on Sunday. I don't believe Styles is the character calling the shots for Anderson and Gallows, so the question then becomes, who is? The next hit is Sami Zayn against Rusev. WWE is getting it right with Sami. They don't have him win every match, and the way he won this match was designed to look like an upset. He is an underdog babyface, and they are creating that vibe on the main roster. Rusev loses nothing by dropping this match. Let's face it, he lost too much during his comedy run and then in his League of Nations run for one loss to really damage him. I like that Lana's back with Rusev, but her attire was a little more revealing than I expected. As much as I preach character evolution, this is one act that I'd like to see go right back to where they started with dominant Rusev and business attire Lana. The next hit is the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn video package, and it was a strong video package that told the WWE version of their story and made their payback match feel like a real showdown. I love the heel logic that Owens used to rationalize his behavior. I also like the way he attacked Zayn after he got the win over Rusev and the way he just stared expressionless at him after doing so. Owens and Zayn may steal a loaded payback show if they are given the time to do so. The next hit is Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho. As much as Jericho wasn't clicking as a babyface, he's really shining as a heel. I love the no-redeeming qualities heel version of Jericho's character. I love the way he tears into opponents and is secure enough to have his opponents tear down his over-the-top rocker attire. It was also good to see Jericho get even more heat heading into their match by applying the walls of Jericho on the broadcast team's table. The next hit is Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows, a minor hit for Night 1. Again, the mystery of whether Styles is calling the shots is a very good one. The white sleeveless jackets that they wore made them look like real stars. They lost a little of that when the jackets came off and Gallows was wearing those awkward shorts, but maybe they'll grow on me. The real issue I had is that they sold so much in Night 1. I did not expect them to have a 14-minute match with the Usos, and I was stunned when big man Luke Gallows sold as much as he did for Roman Reigns on Night 1. I don't think any real damage was done, but I expected them to look more dominant than they did. The next hit is Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin. Quick and effective hype for their match at Payback. Ziggler needed to have a moment after being laid out by Corbin. I actually got a kick out of badass Corbin running backstage to get away from Ziggler. I don't want to see that become the norm from his character, but it worked in this case. The next hit is Apollo Crews against Stardust, another showcase win for Crews over Stardust, who was a notch up on the totem pole from the Social Outcasts. The highlight of the match was actually JBL's commentary. I got a huge kick out of his line about how he and Ron Simmons performed standing moonsaults back in the day. Even better yet was his line about the first time Simmons watched him perform the move is also the first time that Simmons exclaimed, "Damn." And the final hit is Natalya against Emma, and it's a minor one for the light push they gave the women's title match. It didn't get as much attention as the other payback matches, but they did find time for a little final Raw hype. In fact, I've been very impressed by how effective the build for each payback match has been. The show isn't just about one or two matches and then a bunch of matches you could see on Raw or SmackDown every week. The main event feels like the main event, but the undercard matches all received their own build. Maybe payback is WWE's payback to the fans for the mediocre WrestleMania build. We are on to the Raw misses, and we will go with Roman Reigns against Alberto Del Rio up first. The match quality was fine, and the double stomp off the ring apron was a cool spot. I just don't think Reigns working main events of Raw is a good fit. I don't know if they're hoping that the live crowds will be drained by that point in the night, or if they simply feel like he belongs in the Raw main events, but I can't help but wonder if this will have an adverse effect on the third hour numbers. It might be more effective if they don't have him on the show before he works the main event matches, as there will at least be some intrigue as to how the live crowd is going to react to him. By the way, Shane McMahon is preaching change and fresh matchups, yet the last two Raw main events featured yet another Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens match, and Reigns facing a League of Nations member again. And the only other miss is AJ Styles against Sheamus. It seems like WWE has opted to show viewers that Styles is a good wrestler rather than building him up as a dominant force heading into his match with Reigns. Styles enters his title match after having back-and-forth match with Miz and now a back-and-forth match with Sheamus. It's a good thing they have the Anderson and Gallows hook because they haven't given viewers any other reason to think that Styles is a threat to take the title from Roman. That concludes the hit list. Let's get into some bonus thoughts on Raw. And, you know, I do want to stick with Styles for a moment, just kind of elaborate. I don't think we've really seen AJ plow through many people. I can remember a Curtis Axel match maybe on SmackDown. But he's coming off his loss to Chris Jericho. You know, he's winning. Obviously, he won the four-way match to earn this title shot. He did beat Sami Zayn, but Sami's kind of an underdog character. And now he's just kind of having these competitive matches. He's not, like, on this championship surge where you would expect him to be looking really good heading into these matches. He's winning. Yeah, again, you know, I mean, that's the thing you point to, I guess, is that, well, he is winning. But I think they failed when it comes to making him feel like this sensation. And to the longtime AJ Styles fans watching this, I think you're going to go, well, I know he's a great wrestler. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun match with Reigns. But put yourself in the shoes of the casual viewer who maybe doesn't have that much familiarity with Styles. Maybe they've heard about him. Maybe they remember some of his TNA work, but they weren't hardcore TNA fans. You know, I think they really should have built him up in a way where he felt like he was more than just a guy who was beating Miz on, you know, in undercard matches, competitive undercard matches at that. It should feel like a bigger deal that AJ's facing Roman. But again, fortunately, they have that whole hook with Anderson and Gallows. Speaking of Miz, I did not include Miz in Cesaro's segment in the hit list. I just didn't really feel strongly one way or another about it. I like that they gave some attention to the Intercontinental title match. I can't say I really care about the outcome of that match right now. And I know there's going to be Cesaro fans who desperately want to see him win the Intercontinental title, and that's cool. I just kind of feel like it's not what I'm looking for from Cesaro. I can't say I'm excited about Miz as champion, and I'm someone who defends Miz more often than not because I think he certainly at one time was not a very good wrestler. He's come a long way in that regard, and he's a very good talker, and I think they've kind of devalued him a bit by having him be this comedic heel who loses. And they're trying to change that, but they also did it at a time when they're trying to get AJ Styles over. And so it just was like, really? This is the time you decide to give Miz competitive matches? But the match against Cesaro is one that I look forward to the actual match. I just can't say that I care about the outcome. I don't think they did the Intercontinental title any favors by giving Zack Ryder his WrestleMania moment only to kind of pull the rug out from under him and give the title to Miz the next night on Raw. I think the title has lost something since it left Kevin Owens. And, you know, hey, Cesaro winning and being a long-running Intercontinental champion is having these great matches. Yeah, that can certainly bring some prestige back to the title, don't get me wrong. But I just can't sit here and act like I'm all excited about the thought of Cesaro winning the Intercontinental title just because I think he should be doing more than having Intercontinental title matches. Now, there may come a time, though, when that title does mean more because if he wins it and he elevates the title, it'll feel like a good fit. But right now, I'm just not there. It's kind of sad that we're not seeing much from Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch coming out of WrestleMania. And I don't think they're entirely in Challenger of the Month and no one else matters type of a situation with the women's division, but I do want to see more from them. And we saw them on SmackDown, I think it was, or on Raw last week. They kind of run together, both shows in London, and they were in a big, I think it was on Raw actually, where they had that eight-woman tag match, and it was basically to get them in front of the London crowd, and the London crowd was happy to see all four baby faces as they entered the match, and it was fine. But I want to start seeing more storylines within the Divas, or I guess, sorry, old habits die hard, within the women's division. I want to see them having doing something, and they were doing a little bit with Emma, and I actually praise them for it with Emma and Becky Lynch. But then just to kind of have them drop off the face of the earth as far as this Raw is concerned, hopefully they kind of make up for it on SmackDown. But they need to get them going. I mean, Sasha and Becky are very valuable commodities, and I still say so much damage was done with Paige that I just because she was overexposed, and the whole flip-flopping, is she a babyface, is she a heel that went on, I think they've really damaged her. And I think that a little time away from television wouldn't be such a bad thing. But with Sasha and Becky, they need to figure this out, and they need to figure it out in a hurry. Their fans are especially hot for Sasha. They want to see Sasha, and if you start to take away hope from the fans if you, by not having her on the shows, I mean, could the fans rally behind her still? Yes. Is there also a risk that they throw their hands up and just say, well, it's not going to happen, and kind of not necessarily completely move on, but just lose that passion? And yeah, I mean, they need to figure out a course of action here for especially Sasha Banks, and they need to do it quickly. Final point is Michael Cole last night during the main event of the show. I praise JBL, got a kick out of some of his humor. And I didn't think Michael Cole had a bad night. It's just it was a Michael Cole night until the main event. You had Roman Reigns standing with his legs, on each side of the ropes. And then Del Rio kicks the middle rope into his balls. And what does Cole say? Does he get worked up and complain about that dastardly heel maneuver? No, Michael Cole says, what a move. Honestly, like he had just performed some incredible suplex or something like that. Alberto Del Rio is a heel. Michael Cole is not a heel play-by-play voice anymore. Those days are long gone, thank God. Michael Cole should be bothered by this. He should be selling it to viewers that what Del Rio just did is not okay. It's not acceptable. He cheated. It should not be allowed. And instead, Michael Cole is praising it as what a move. And in fairness, I have no idea if it was fed to him. I don't think it was. I can't imagine that would be fed to him. So, but how does Michael Cole, after all these years, and believe me, this isn't the only time. It was just like a random slip. I'd question it and move on. But Cole does this on a regular basis, and I just don't know why, after all these years, he and WWE's production team hasn't figured out that that's not the way you call that. You're taking away the heat that it's designed to get. You're taking away any sympathy from the babyface by basically endorsing a kick to the balls, which is what it was. Granted, the rope was there, but it was still a kick to the balls. Would that, I mean, just put yourself in the position of a UFC commentator or a boxing commentator. If Jim Ross is calling boxing in Vegas and somebody throws an intentional low blow, is Jim Ross going to praise that fighter? No, of course not. And so Michael Cole just needs to just take a step back and realize and think about these things. It's not that complicated, but he's made this mistake for years now. Anyhow, you can join me tonight for live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling. This show carries the Sacrifice theme. I honestly don't even know what that means, other than that they want you to think this is a pay-per-view worthy show. So we'll find out. I mean, Impact has been mostly good to very good this year, so I kind of hope that this show is not the exception. You can, again, join me for live coverage as the show airs on Pop TV, 8 Central, 9 Eastern Time, and then I'll be by either with an all-access audio review tomorrow or one exclusively for the members. I just haven't talked with Will and Jake to figure out their audio schedule, but I'm sure you will be hearing the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast at some point this week. week as well. Hey, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment to review us on iTunes. That really helps. You're spreading the word about this podcast, and we really appreciate when you take a moment to do that. And for that matter, thanks to everyone who has given a quick retweet whenever I run the link to the audio show on the Twitter feed. It just takes a second to do, and again, you're helping spread the word, and I'm very grateful to everybody who has just taken out a second to do that, or just taken an extra step and gone and given us a review on iTunes. That's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, take care.